Welcome to the R7 podcast, sponsored by M is Good. R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes seven strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life.
I saw you getting into that. This is my
come on, man. Career. You know, whoever listening to this, when they're driving down the road, they're jamming to your song. Like, this is my favorite part of the podcast, is the intro song.
We know the favorite part of the podcast is not listening to you.
Oh, it depends on the day. It depends on the day. You know, it depends on if we're dropping bombs or if we're, you know, making things happen. But yeah, it could be. It could be. I'm not too arrogant to say that may not be the case. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think everybody who's listening has now fully understood the fact that you are a gift from God now that you have your doctorate. Like, dude, you've leveled up so hard. It's unbelievable.
Stop it. Today on the R7 podcast, we're talking about great messaging, killer messaging. And, killer, you know, messaging. My favorite sport, and your, let's be honest, your favorite sport in the whole world is hockey. And so we've got to turn to the NHL for killer messaging. In your mind, you know, what is killer messaging, Dave Bennett?
So, time out real quick. We just got off the Super Bowl. That is like the holiday of killer messaging, mm-hmm. is what happens during the Super Bowl. Everybody does their top 10 list of commercials. That's all I'm saying is the NHL does a good job, but the Super Bowl is where it's at in the ad spend too. And as I tell you what I think killer messaging is, I know we're going to look at some hockey examples, but I will tell you what I thought was the most killer message from this last Super Bowl, mm-hmm. is when you can make it personal, hold someone's attention, and completely catch them off guard. Mm. Right? So you have the ones that make people cry, and that's fine. But I don't know about you, but from this last weekend, the ad I liked was the Harrison Ford Jeep ad at the end. Did you see this ad?
I did see this ad.
Oh my gosh. The best part, yes. Like the whole thing is like, all right, that's cool. I agree. You get to the end. He talks about how much he loves his Jeep, even though his name is Ford, and the look on it, his smirk is hilarious. And I got down, yeah. and I was like, that might be the best commercial of the whole Super Bowl because it catches you so off guard. So to me, that killer messaging, again, makes it personal, something relatable. And then I like the surprise. Catch me off guard a little bit and surprise me at the end of it and go, dang, all right, that was pretty cool.
I can't disagree with you. I mean, I definitely think that was a top ad. I think for me personally, the Super Bowl halftime show was very disappointing. But yeah. I do get that it appealed to a certain audience, which was, yeah. not me or you. And it appealed well to a certain audience. You know, younger generation who's not white. You know, definitely appeal to them. And that's what great messaging does. It appeals, yeah. to a certain audience who understands. Now, I do think that is, in my professional opinion, I think, you know, the Super Bowl is a broader audience. I don't know that kind of message played well, unless the NFL says, hey, we need to attract a younger ethnic audience. You know, you got to do that kind of stuff. I get that. But should you alienate, you know, other audiences, other demos in the process? I mean, that definitely did it. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, a week later, week and a half later, they're still explaining what it all meant. I just don't think, yeah. that's entertaining. You know, to, for you to explain what was happening, you know, is not entertaining at all.
Okay. So hold on, though. I think this is a point here, right? When we're talking about killer messaging, when you think about it definitively, does killer messaging have to be explained?
Yeah, I would say no.
It's simple and it's universal. And the messaging from the halftime show is about as polarizing it gets. When you yeah. talk to people or you read about it on social media, people either absolutely loved it or they absolutely hated it. And the ones that hated it, I saw videos being posted from people that were sitting there being like, I hate this. This is horrible. And it was, mm-hmm. especially an older demographic of people that hated it. I found the kind of undermeaning messaging that was in there that I've read about. Fascinating. But again, I get you get a big audience for that messaging, but if you have to your point, if you have to explain it that much, did you really get the biggest bang for your buck? Or then do you have to look at it through the lens of it was art and it wasn't messaging? And messaging isn't always artistic or artful, but then you could probably argue great messaging is, or killer messaging is.
And you could also argue the fact that we're talking about it 2 weeks later.
True.
And that is great messaging, you know, that the message still carries on.
Yep.
But you know, when you're talking about entertainment, you know, it's got to be there in the moment. You got to get it. You got to resonate with it. It's got to motivate you. Yep. Otherwise, at least in the digital space, if you're not clicking now, you're probably not clicking, you know.
Right.
If you're not watching now, you're not watching later, unless it's a retargeting ad. You know, retargeting, you know, definitely works. But we got to know that we got to retarget 17 to 19 times for you to get to, you know, get you to buy something. So,
but it does make you ask questions about the demographic, and you start thinking about it as, isn't this the issue every year? Can you find an artist that can cross over multiple demographics? So in the hip hop space, let's just look back a few years to the other version, which I loved this halftime show, right? It was Dr. Dre. It was Snoop. It was Eminem. Yeah. It was Eminem. I remember watching that halftime show going, they could literally all go on tour right now and make $1 billion+ because everybody would go. Like, people went bonkers to see them all on stage together doing songs that you attach to memories of when you were probably either making good decisions or bad decisions or whatever. Like, it was awesome. And again, you know, typically in the polls of best halftime show ever, Prince sits at the top playing in the rain when the Colts beat my Bears down in Miami. And still, it was something that can transcend. And so I think there are some lessons there. When we think about killer messaging, can you create something that's simple? Can you create something that can hit multiple demographics? Can you create something that evokes a memory or a feeling? And I think some of the ads you want to look at today do that. That the NHL did. And I give the NHL mad props. Great ads.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a second. Let's also talk about, you know, understanding your target audience. And going back to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl is just 123 million people. You know, it's just a broad audience. And so, to me, entertainment that can carry across multiple generations is just that. It's entertainers that have been around for at least three, sometimes four generations. And so Snoop Dogg did that.
Yeah.
And there's other ones in there. Prince did that.
I think you've got hints of some things, and this is going to sound really simple, but like, how many Kendrick Lamar songs are used in ad space today? How many songs have been used the last 20 years from Dre, Eminem, and Snoop? I can tell you many.
Mm-hmm.
How about Prince? Many. U2, that's another top five typically that people have said Super Bowl halftime show. Many. Like, to me, you almost have to go into the ad space to pull out what you want to be able to put on stage and see, did it, you know, is it propped up? Is it a good thing? You know, I mean, people like to put music on ads that people can relate to because they're like, I love that song. And then you get their attention and then you actually talk about your product. So I think that to me is a hint. You know, what's the hint? Like, that should give you an idea of what we should be looking at. You know what I mean?
Unless the executives at the NFL say we have to appeal to a younger audience. And now it all goes, you know, it could be strategic in that way, and that's fine.
Intent. Yeah, but Dave, the biggest artist, and I know there's hate out here about this, the biggest artist that the NFL has not used for its halftime show is because of serious fatigue, and that's Taylor Swift. Dude, how much did she make on the Eras Tour? Like, dude, she made more money than some country's GDP on that tour. Like, dude, that's dumb to think about. Like, what? How is that possible? Yet she did. How can you tell me she wouldn't do the halftime show? But it's only because we've seen this thing, this Taylor thing going with the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are there and everything else. And now you're 2 years into it, and there are people out there again that are polarized by this that hate her guts. Had she not, and this is bad, I don't, again, we support love, but had she not dated Travis Kelce, you could make an argument, a pretty hot take, to say she would have done last year or this year's Super Bowl. Hands down. No question. Like, lead pipe lock.
A lead pipe lock? What exactly is a lead pipe lock?
Dude, it's how you hide kryptonite from Superman. Dude, he can't see through lead. Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard any of the special bits on ESPN Radio when they get to Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock? We digress. I'll have to send them to you outside of the show, but
okay.
I'm telling you, that would, I believe deeply inside of me, that she would have done a halftime show in the last 2 years. And I'm not saying I'm a Swiftie. I'm just saying there was Taylor fatigue, and there would have been, it would have been crazy if they would have named it, but it would have made sense.
All right, let's get into this.
Let's go.
NHL
ads.
What's that?
NHL ads. Let's go. NHL killer ads.
All right, so this is coming from Illumin. Our top six Stanley Cup playoff ads. Number one, If This Cup Could Talk. Number two, Spelling. Number three, Kiss Me. Number four, They All Want the Cup. Number five, No Words. Number six, Handoff. All right, let's do it. Number one, and we'll talk about it. Here we go.
If this cup could talk, it would speak of champions and legends, underdogs and lesser knowns, of strong hands lifting it high, strong arms wrapped gently around it, and grown men going weak in the knees when they finally grasp it. It would recall countless hearts it has touched, and the soul of every single player who has fought for the right to hoist it above his head. It would tell you about each of its 10,000 kisses and all the places it's been. Most of all, we believe it would tell you that these 125 years have been an honor, to which we would reply, the honor is all ours.
Okay, Dave, why is that killer message?
So you have nostalgia, the music is good, you've got Go Grab a Kleenex experience. They say champions and legends while they show the Flyers. I thought that was very meaningful for me anyway. I don't know about you, but I really like that. But that's one of those ads where you begin to understand a couple things. There's no trophy in sports like the Stanley Cup, and that's hard to say because I'm a huge soccer fan, but like you begin to understand the fact that there's a little bit, even though most people that are watching it aren't NHL players, there's a little bit you can begin to understand is that there are places and things in our lives that if they could talk, they'd share a lot of things. So I think, again, it's relatable. It's simple. You don't have to explain it. You know, it shows so many different teams. So you're hitting the multiple fan bases. And if you're not a fan of hockey, it still makes sense.
Well, this is one of the things that I've really been not struggling with, but just working with this week, is that really killer messaging is really hard to like be decisive around. Like, killer messaging resonates, and it's kind, and it's empowering, and it's detailed, and
it's positive.
You know, human element. It's positive. It's got that human element to it. You know, it's something that you can't argue with, really. You know, it's just very real, and it doesn't have to be something that's confrontational.
I think you're right. And I think we go back to this biology piece all the time, but it's playing on your limbic system, because as you watch it, it's telling a story.
Yeah.
And that's the limbic system all day. Bad messaging gives you facts, gives you figures, or to your point, it's too negative. it's too controversial. Like, the flip side of this, this is why I don't care what side of the aisle you sit on. At the end of a presidential election, everybody's tired of the messaging.
Yeah.
It's negative. It's mean. It's divisive. Divisive, right. It's, you know, full of a bunch of facts, quote, big air quotes there that aren't real. Fact checkers are telling you these are real, aren't real. And you're like, God, can you guys just stop? I'm tired of the negativity. Where killer messaging is the opposite. It's uplifting. It's, you know, what we've seen, and in Christian circles, this has been a really hot topic, debatable thing for a lot of people. But I think you and I both talked about this last year. We like to take a step back and just look at the simplicity of the positive influence of that whole messaging the last two Super Bowls of He Gets Us.
Yeah.
And look, yeah, okay, you can not like the denomination or whatever it is, but at the end of the day, there's a message that's going out there that says the God of the universe who sent his son to die for us gets us. Like, seriously, keep it simple, stupid, right?
Yeah. Yep.
All so right, I agree.
Let's go to the next one.
I like this one.
You like this one?
I do. I like this one. Called Spelling.
Oh, it's called Spelling.
L E M C R O
K E O N
H U L L
M E S S
G R E T Z K Y
F E D
O U
R K E
R O Y Z E
L I D S
I T O
T R O T T I E R
T O E W S
B R O D A
N N E
O R R.
Whew.
I figured you were going to get, you're going to get misty eyed because we start with two penguins. But like, if you're driving or running and you're not watching this, you know, if you didn't figure it out, it's a, you know, a bunch of great, great all time NHL hockey players spelling their name because it was engraved on the cup, which is one of the reasons I love the Stanley Cup anyway. But yeah, it'll get you, man.
Yeah. So, I think that one really gets to me because, you know, I understand who those players were and what they did. Yep. So for me, that's great. That's killer messaging. Now, for somebody who is not a big hockey fan, who doesn't understand those people or who they are, I can see how that would be confusing and not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back to the Super Bowl, I think people were amazed that, you know, that halftime show that he was going there and he's being offensive and he was laying down what he wasn't supposed to do. So it was very controversial. This to me is a little different in the fact that it's emotional because I know what those players had to endure to win the Stanley Cup. And so to me, it's appealing to an audience on a core audience on a way different level.
Yeah. It's a narrower demographic, right? You're narrowing that pie wedge and going, we're going to hit these people. And that ad probably is done. I mean, this is like an obvious thing to say, but that ad gets aired during the playoffs, man. Hands down.
Yeah.
You don't put that ad out during the All-Star game and All-Star weekend or the skills competition. You don't put that ad out first half of the year. You're saving that sucker for the playoffs. And you're probably even maybe holding on to it for the conference championships and maybe even just for the finals. Like, that one is you're really striking a chord with a group of people. Cause if you wait, the other thing is you wait on that, you have a chance to educate people that don't know through the playoff journey that maybe they chose to watch the NHL playoffs for the first time.
Yeah. I think all these were just playoffs. It's just a playoff campaign. Yeah. I think that's when they all aired. All right. Let's go to, the next
one. That one really stung you, though, man.
It stung me.
I know.
And I've watched it I don't know how many times.
Yeah, it's a good commercial, man.
All right, here we go. First kiss.
Kiss me. I love the bearded barley lightly beside the green, green grass. Oh, kiss me. Strike up the band and make the fireflies dance, silver moon sparkling. So kiss me.
Right.
Yeah. That one's all right. It's a little campy.
Yeah.
It's all right. Like, you notice though? I think both of us, neither one of us, it evoked much emotion at all. You're kind of like, okay.
Now, I will say that great messaging, killer messaging. You really know the user experience. So in this case, like, they really truly understood what it took to win the Stanley Cup. And so, first kiss, which is, to me, it's brilliant strategy. It's so brilliant, which makes a killer messaging for me. And also, we know that the Stanley Cup is the hardest trophy in all the sports to get. It's the oldest trophy. And so guys going through that, when they get to raise the Stanley Cup, like, that's a big deal. And so I think other sports have tried to emulate that, but it just doesn't play because it's just not the Stanley Cup.
It's a grinder. I mean, the only trophy I would put close to that would honestly be the World Cup, because the World Cup in soccer happens when they're supposed to be resting after a very, very long and grueling season. And instead of being resting and getting better, now you got to put on your absolute best to compete against the best in the world on teams that you don't really play on a ton for your country while you're trying to freaking heal at the end of a season. You know, like, dude, you can't wait to get your 3 months off. And it's like, nope, now it's time to grind again. But anyway, do you remember the ESPN? I mean, ESPN did it for years. Their ads for SportsCenter, and it would be like on the campus of SportsCenter there in Connecticut or whatever, and they were completely out of this world crazy.
Yes.
See, I want to say they did one year with whoever had the Stanley Cup and had won it and was taking it around to showcase it and everything else. And I was like, that to me became extremely accessible because you have the ESPN people, everybody who loves watching SportsCenter, and they're like, oh, yeah, I heard about that. They took it, you know, because you heard about people putting the Stanley Cup in their swimming pool, out on a boat, or whatever. I'm like, that kind of stuff's hilarious because that's in real life fandom, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To me, that's a lot more accessible than the kiss piece, but I get why the kiss one's good.
All right. Next one here is they all want the cup.
Stamkos breaks through the middle, takes the shot, scores!
Matthews circles in front, shoots, scores! Austin Matthews!
Stamkos takes over. Stamkos right in the goal! He
scores! All right, how do you feel about that one?
That's appealing to hockey parents.
Yeah.
Right?
1,000%. Okay, so...
yeah, if you're wondering what that one was about, it's a bunch of highlights of famous NHL players when they were kids, kid highlights, but then with the background of real NHL calls to then convert to when they were actually scoring goals in the NHL and see that they've been working on it their whole life. So that to me, that's a parent commercial all day long, because now you're left going, that could be my kid.
That's
or the
exactly
kids watching and going, that could be me.
Yep. So you see those youth shots and you think, wow, that was like my kid last weekend.
Yep. Wait,
he could be like Stamkos. He could be like Crosby. Like,
I know.
Let's go.
I know. If you're smart and you're running a hockey club, you know, or even like you participated in the Junior Hurricanes, dude, I would be putting that front and center on my website or as my, you know, any kind of parent informational meeting that's like, this is what we're about now. Is it accessible to everybody? Yeah, maybe a little bit. You're like, oh, that's who they were when they were young. That's nice. But it's not as moving as to the target audience.
again, this is killer messaging for me because it appeals to the user experience of the hockey parent 1000%. Yeah.
I wish they would do the opposite of that commercial and do one about the Karen hockey parent, because that would be absolutely amazing.
Yes. All right, no words.
Yep.
Your feelings on winning this cup?
It's,
I mean, it's real hard to explain.
It's...
So they played this during the finals.
Yep.
So super appropriate for the exact moment you released that one.
Yeah.
I think that one, here's what I found myself every time I've watched it so far.
Yeah.
I'm trying to relate to a time in my life where I felt similar. When did I get to a point in my life where I was able to accomplish something? I'm like, it's extremely hard to describe and put the right words to, because you know you're never going to be able to fully convey it. That was probably one of my favorite of the ones we're looking at, because it's just, it's that one. Tell me, Dave, you don't even need a script. That one's pure emotion, man.
Well, it's overwhelming emotion is what it is. And they're pulling from that. And you're right. Not many people can experience that. And I think this is killer messaging, because we've all had overwhelming emotion. And we can relate on some level. I think anybody who's experienced childbirth, you know, can That's certainly great. Say they've been there with overwhelming emotion. So,
yeah.
You know, it's attaching to that overwhelming emotion to something in your life, which makes a connection, which is all they're looking to do is connect on some level to pull you in.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Last one.
I can't believe we're getting to the last one already.
Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. And the times, they are a-changing. Yeah, the times, they are a-changing. Oh, the times, they are a-changing.
It's probably my least favorite of all of them, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Why?
It's called Handoff. I don't know. I mean, I think the other ones are just a lot more powerful. They all want the cup, and you know, Spelling to me is the ones that just resonate with me the most. Now it's good, and I like the effects, and I like the Handoff, and I know the Next Generation, but I don't know.
This one was probably my favorite of all six.
Really? Tell me why.
Here's why. Multiple reasons. Number one, I don't know who's covering the song, but it's a Bob Dylan song. It's an amazing Bob Dylan song. Oh my gosh. And that was my one little issue. I was like, could you just play Bob Dylan's version? It's so iconic. It's so important. I think there's such a meaning in these images of, you think about some of these great players, and sure, there's some insides to this if you know hockey, right? The idea of Wah passing the cup to Brodeur, and I hate both of them. I don't like either one. I don't like either one. I mean, there's a lot of players in that ad I don't like, but at the same time, I love the idea of legacy. I love the idea that success is fleeting. It ain't gonna last, man. Enjoy the moment now. Enjoy winning the cup right now. because odds are next year you're not going to be there unless you play for the Tampa Bay Lightning over a certain stretch of time, right? Mm-hmm. Or you think about all the teams that have gone back to back. It's so hard to do in any sport. But this idea that your name's on it, but it ain't going to last, so enjoy it while you got it. And it was hard as heck to get there, and most players are never going to get there. Like, there's so much deep meaning to that one, that and life meaning of, you know, that we've talked about for years together publicly about peaks and valleys. That thing, oh my God, what a peak and valley experience. Yeah. Is that, you know, like, no, the Avalanche are not going to win it every year with Patrick Waugh. The Devils are not going to win it every year with Martin Brodeur. The, you know, all of these players, they got to be heroes in a moment of time. And very few transcend the sport like Gretzky or in the NBA like Jordan. You know, you think of these players, or, you know, or in soccer like Messi or Ronaldo, like these players are in these moments. And I don't care whether you're a professional athlete, you're an executive at a company, there's peaks and valleys, and it's not going to last forever. And that one, like if I'm sitting there watching it and there's that, I'm like, God, man. Mm. I start having deep life thoughts.
You know, I think in all these, you know, for killer messaging, it's like we talked about, the key takeaways for me here are the messaging's empowering no matter who you are and where you are in any walk of life. You know, there's an emotional call to action, right? Music is certainly a way of cheating. You know, when you think about it, like it's certainly a way to drive that message home. And then in these particular ads, you really see the humanistic side of the players. And so, like, you know, I think the article says that players are people too, and you can see that. And so to me, like, this is killer messaging, killer ads.
So keeping it on the idea, this continued theme we're talking about today, a little bit of being positive. Did you notice none of those ads had anything to do with fighting?
Yeah.
And yeah, there's an appeal to the people that watch the NHL because the fighting piece is there. Even in what we watched the other night when the U.S. squared off against Canada, and there were, what, three fights in the first minute and a half? Right? And you, I mean, we're not talking about high and low EI today, but we probably could for that one.
Yeah.
But like, dude, like you could create an ad campaign with the right music and a bunch of fighting and put it out there. But my question would be, how far would you go? Like, how far would that take you versus every example we looked at today? And at the end of the day, you got to remember too, a young generation is watching this. Would you not rather have heroes with maturity, understanding, real good competitiveness, sportsmanship, and grace? Or do you want people that are going to go out there and be goons on the ice all the time?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this. This was hot off the press, but I'll send it to you offline. But PK Subban went off today. For those that are listening, PK Subban is he was a former NHLer, really good defenseman, and he's now a broadcaster, I think, with the NHL Network. And he just is, you know, talking about the fight against USA versus Canada. He said, this is why hockey is the best sport on the planet, because no matter what you're paying for a seat, hockey players come to play and they are invested. And, you know, other sports are not invested, you know, like we get the business side of it all. But when you come to a hockey game, like players are there to play. And these two guys, you know, were definitely had some animosity towards each other, and they wanted to support their country. And so they squared off the spot, you know, and that's what you get. Like, you know, hockey players, you have to be, especially at a pro level, you have to be committed. And low and high EI, we can definitely look at that. But, you know, I really appreciated PK's message today. But that's kind of another podcast. But, you know, I just really appreciate the NHL and the killer messaging. And, you know, as a marketing executive who writes a lot of copy and a lot of messaging, and I know you do a lot of blogging and, you know, and writing, you know, it's finding that emotional appeal to a core audience, and bringing them into your community. And that's what great messaging does. But I think, you know, it goes back to understanding who are you talking to?
Yeah.
And, you know, are you strategic with that or not? We could debate whether or not the NHL executives were strategic towards a younger ethnic audience. You know, I think by just watching what they put on, they were strategic with that. They were, that was a concentrated effort to appeal to a younger audience, which wasn't for you or me. And in the NHL ads, you know, it's definitely appealing to a hockey community, you know? And so you got to know those players for you to get it, you know? Years ago, 26 years ago, I was with Fox TV. I was selling ads for Fox. And so it was, what year was that? 1997, 98. And Fox had gotten the NHL contract. And I don't know if you remember this, but you remember they put the blue glow,
the halo on the ice. Yeah. I mean, on the puck. The puck had a halo because people couldn't follow it. John Davidson was doing color, man.
They did all kinds of stuff to try to have a broader appeal. And you know, at the end of that, it didn't work.
Didn't work at all.
And so it upset the hockey community. The purists that were watching, and it didn't help appeal to a broader audience. And so looking back on that, it was a long time ago, but I think the NHL has done a great job of appealing to who watches the sport. Mm-hmm. You know, that they're not looking to broaden the audience as much as bring in the existing audience and have them buy more.
Yeah.
I think it was like 9% market share. They were trying to get the 12 or 15% market share, and they just couldn't cross that threshold.
Yeah.
So, anyway, and I think there's just a little bit of a push on a European, like to go out into different parts of the world and play. But as far as an American, you know, appeal to a broader audience, I think that train has left the station.
Yeah.
So that's why you don't see ads. You don't see, you know, ads that appeal to a younger generation means nothing to the hockey community. Like you just wouldn't see that in the NHL, which I think is, it's cool for me because I'm a fan, but
right.
Yeah.
Well, I still think there are some key ideas that if you're listening, whether you're trying to figure out how to do messaging for your church, your ministry, your school, your business, you know, I mean, I think we've hit on some pretty big topics in here that, yeah, go back to the team you're on and whatever ad you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to push, highlight, showcase, whatever, start thinking about these things, you know, the human element. You know, when I was in mega church world, so much of what we try to do, and you probably remember this too, Dave, so much of what we try to do was tied to, do we have somebody that has a story that we could showcase that story and whatever the messaging was going to be to help bring it home. So that narrative and that story, like you said earlier today, is so critical. The positive piece, the human element, the simplicity. Please don't have you, please don't make me explain it. Like, I think that's such a great litmus test. If you have to explain it, you've already lost.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Join us again next week. Enjoyed speaking to everybody out there. If any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to reach out to us. I absolutely enjoy doing this podcast every week with you, David Bennett. Thanks again for joining us. I want to give special thanks to our sponsor, M is Good. Want to learn more about M is Good? Go to misgood.com. Join us again next week as we continue to uncover the secrets to success with faith-based testimonies and the power of R7. Remember, destiny awaits, but time does not.